You are listening to TLRStation.com.
Your Family Matters is a talk radio program with expert information about family law issues and various dispute resolution practices and other services concerning the law and how it relates to your family. Because your family matters. Host Cindy Morin is a family law lawyer with Resolve Legal Group, a family law firm dedicated to client-centered holistic legal services with offices located downtown Calgary and downtown Cochrane, Alberta. And now, here is your host, Cindy Morin.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tenacious Living's radio talk show, Your Family Matters. My name is Cindy Morin, and I'm a family law lawyer with Resolve Legal Group, a family law firm dedicated to client-centered holistic legal services with offices located downtown Calgary, Alberta, and downtown Cochrane, Alberta. Your Family Matters is a program brought to you, the listener, about all matters concerning the law and how it relates to your family, because your family matters. Today I have with me Patrick Dillon. He is the Provincial Coordinator for Alberta Father Involvement Initiative, and Patrick, welcome to our show, and we're here to talk today about how dads are important, the paternal relationships with children, and their fathers.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, Cindy. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So tell us, Patrick, what is your organization about, and why was it created?
Sure. The organization, the Alberta Father Involvement Initiative, was created in 2009 by a group of human service delivery organizations that felt that there was a need to highlight and showcase the important role that dads play in families. Because when dads are involved with their families, both their partner and the kids do better both cognitively, academically, and socially through their life. The organization itself, primary goal is to provide consultation, supports, resources to organizations in Alberta that serve dads and families. We also provide information and resources for dads to connect them to the different community resources around Alberta.
That's fantastic. Now, do you guys do any work on a one-on-one basis to support fathers within your organization?
Well, yes, not necessarily one-on-one, Cindy, but we do provide workshops for dads, and we provide what we call modular training, and the modules are divided up into different topics that dads have told us that they want to talk about. And the number one request that we get from dads right now is, how do I communicate with my kids?
Right.
Because we found through research and experience that when dads are better able to communicate with their kids, obviously their relationship is better. So the workshops that we provide for dads is coordinated through one of the community service providers, one of the community organizations who already have that connection with dads or are trying to make a connection with dads. Mm-hmm. And so we would work with that community organization to deliver the workshop.
Oh, that's fantastic. So now you're calling us from Edmonton, but you're an Alberta organization. How are you structured throughout the province?
Well, that's a good question. It's really simple. There's one person
okay.
that covers the province. And so I connect with various organizations around Alberta and coordinate with them different services that would be ideal for dads to get involved with. We also provide workshops to the community organizations about how to engage dads.
Right. And, you know, you've talked a little bit about, you know, some of the information, the research information about why it's important to provide fathers with supports. Why are dads important to the development of their children?
Well, dads offer a unique approach to parenting. Moms offer a very good approach and a very unique approach themselves, but dads bring another approach. For example, moms look for the safe and the secure environment, and they're also very knowledgeable and caring about looking after their kids. Dads, on the other hand, look for more of the exploratory approach to kids. They mm-hmm. want to take more risks. They're more physical with their kids in terms of, you know, rough housing, playing with them. And so both approaches are important, and both are, approaches are important for the balance.
So what I hear you saying is, you know, our topic today is, you know, dads are important, but really the message is that both parents are equally important, and dad shouldn't be excluded from the child development process.
Absolutely. I mean, our organization, yes, our focus is on dads, mm-hmm. but we also promote the importance of co-parenting and the balance that both parents can bring to the healthy development of a child.
So let me ask you this. Many of the fathers that I work with in my practice express to me how they feel that there's this gender bias in the family courts. Have you received this kind of feedback as well from any of your clients?
Yes, we have received that kind of feedback from dads out there that have felt that the court systems have been biased towards their particular case. But what we also have seen, Cindy, too, is the fact that it has evolved where the court system is recognizing dads more and more to be the, you know, capable caregiver or to have, you know, the custody of their children. Mm-hmm. But we have seen some cases, and even recently seen some cases and heard some cases where dads, in their perception, were not treated fairly.
Right. And why do you think that is?
Well, I think that it's a lack of understanding in the court systems with the dynamics of the family and how the family dynamics have evolved and have changed. We're seeing more and more dads involved with their kids today than they were. Like, I mean, a statistic that we know of is 75% of the dads today are more involved with their kids than their dads were with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's quite significant. And so I think, you know, there needs to be more awareness, more education within the court system, you know, to let them know that, you know, dads are capable caregivers of their kids.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I just literally got back from a conference down in Washington, D.C., and we were having a discussion about shared parenting in particular. And one of the judges in the audience brought up that what they found was that when child support became more of an issue where women were pursuing that and how going through, you know, Alberta maintenance enforcement and whatnot, that is when dads stepped up to the plate and then started demanding to have more visitation with their children. And my comment back to that judge was that I thought she had it all wrong. I think it was just the timing probably of everything, because I think there has been a shift in the sense that dads are wanting to be more involved, and it's got nothing to do with whether they pay child support or not, that it has more to do with the fact that today, you know, we have two parents that are working, and so we have two parents that are also more involved with the children, as opposed to, you know, the traditional nuclear family of many years ago where the dad was the breadwinner and the mom stayed at home and raised the kids. So, you know, what's your take on that? Do you feel that there's some validity to the rise in dads asserting their rights because women are going after child support more, or do you think it's more that entire shift? I mean, it was an interesting perspective. I just don't think it was an accurate one.
Yeah. Well, I think that there is a societal shift in that both parents are assuming, dads in particular, are assuming more responsibility around the house. And that includes, you know, the domestic responsibilities, the childcare responsibilities, you know, all the extracurricular activities. Dads are assuming more of that. We're mm-hmm. seeing that. Okay. But I think that there are some systems, and not necessarily just the court system, but other systems that, you know, are following the traditional path of, well, mom's the primary caregiver. Mom should be the only one that has custody of the kids.
Right.
Right. But dads, men need to do a better job of demonstrating, right, not just in their home, but out in public, that they are capable caregivers, right? So yeah. people can see that they are. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, dads constantly juggle with two major characteristics, one confidence and one approval. And it's a teeter-totter between the two constantly as a parent and as a partner in a relationship that they deal with. The confidence level as a man, confidence level as a parent, confidence level as an employee where they work, right? They're juggling that confidence level all the time. Their approval. They're constantly juggling that approval. Do I have approval of my partner to do what I'm going to do with my kids or not do with my kids? Do I have approval of society to do what I'm going to do with my kids? And I'll give you an example. Even today, there are public washrooms, public facilities, brand new public facilities that do not have a change table in the men's washroom. So where are the dads expected to change the baby's diaper?
Right.
Well, dads are concrete thinkers and we're problem solvers. So we quickly look at, okay, I need a flat surface that's clean. I'll change it on top of the garbage can. Right. And immediately the public is going to be judging, you know, what that dad changing a diaper on top of a garbage can in the middle of a cafeteria of a food court.
Right.
Right. But what is a dad supposed to do then? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's popping up and saying, hey, good for you, Dad. Good to see you involved changing the diaper, right? The most common judgmental piece would be, oh, that's disgusting, changing your baby's diaper on top of a garbage can while we're eating, you know?
Yeah.
But where are they supposed to do it? So,
yeah.
You know, that to me would be an example of a societal shift that needs to occur from the traditional thinking of, well, there's a change table in the women's washroom. Women should change the babies. Well, that's not the case anymore.
Right.
You know?
No, I agree. I mean, at our firm, at Resolve Legal Group, our philosophy is that children need as much time with both parents as possible, so long as those relationships are healthy ones. Absolutely.
And I mean, that's a great point too, Cindy, that you know, with the confidence level that men are juggling with, men dads need time alone with their kids to build that confidence level as a parent.
Yes. No, I absolutely agree. I actually have a case right now where my dad that I represent is fantastic. He's doing absolutely everything right. And the mom on the other side is just a very nervous mom. And, you know, she says, well, he won't know what to do. And my feedback to her was, well, did you know what to do when the baby was first born? Because I certainly didn't when I had my kids. And it's a learning curve. And he has every right to build his confidence as a parent as you do. Yep. You're not giving him that opportunity. So I agree
with you. And mums have the advantage. They have the 9 month, 8.5, 9 month advantage of building that bond with their child, where it's more instantaneous for the dad, right? I mean, the baby is delivered, and there you are. You're an instant parent, pal, right? You know, I mean, obviously, dad is involved along the 9 month period, but is not feeling the baby, not bonding, connecting with the baby on a regular basis, type thing, right?
Right. Now, let me tell you this. The law says that children should have maximum contact with both parents. Do you think, based on the feedback from your members of your organization, that family courts apply these same principles? Because what the law says on paper versus what is actually going on in the courts, do you think that there has been...
I think that's with anything in the court system. What it says on paper and what actually happens are generally two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that in family court, there needs to be a shift. There needs to be a chain. I don't know how to describe it. There needs to be more of an empathetic delivery of what's happening with the situation in family court.
Right.
And look at both sides of what's happening. You know, yes, there are people who take yes, there are the dads who try to beat out child support or alimony or any of that nature because they don't want to pay for those things. But those are the dads that don't see the value of being involved with their kids.
Yeah.
The dads who want to be involved with their kids, who are not getting a fair shake through the court system, they're the one, that's where it needs to be addressed, right? In terms of the important role that they play. And I think that the biggest thing that we can do is an awareness education to the court system, to the clerks, to the judges, to lawyers, right? Around the role that the important role that dads play.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I can tell you that, by luck of the draw, I happen to represent more men than women. And it's been in my experience that most of my clients have genuinely wanted to have those relationships, that this fear Yes. that they're trying to reduce child support is more of a fear than it is a reality. And in fact, oftentimes Yeah. my guys will even say, I don't care about the child support piece. I just want more time with my Yeah. kids. So, you know, I mean, as you said, there's the odd case where, you know, people do have an ulterior motive, but the reality Yep. is, I mean, money does dictate a lot of stuff in family law, unfortunately, but it shouldn't. And I think Yep. that when I have clients come in that are men and they're being genuine, they want to have more time with their kids, my first question to them is, what are you prepared to do? You've got to prove to the court Yep. that this is actually what you want. So what are you prepared to do Yep. as the dad Yep. to show that that's Yep. the involvement you want? So what advice would you give a separated or divorced father on how they can still remain active parents in their children's lives?
Well, the biggest thing that I can tell them is patience, right? I mean, and patience with themselves, patience with their situation, and patience with the systems, because, you know, they need to demonstrate, not just tell, but they need to demonstrate to the people that are involved with their particular case that they do care about their kids and they do want to be involved with their kids. And it has, I've seen it where they went when they've demonstrated it, not just told them, you know, because actions speak louder than words, the old Yep. cliche. But when they've demonstrated, then they have seen their kids on a regular basis. There has been a change in the custody arrangement, right? Yeah. You know, the challenge is there's always two sides to the story. And are we listening to the two sides, right?
Well, there's actually three sides because there's the children's side as well. Yeah. And I think it's important.
Well, of course.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was speaking about the parents, but you're absolutely right. There is the third side, right?
Yeah.
And the court systems don't necessarily recognize the children's side of the story until they're, what, 12?
No, 13, you know, or? Actually, that's a myth. So okay. I'm going to take this opportunity to dispel that myth
Please.
For you. Basically, first of all, Canada is signatory to the Convention of the Rights of the Child. And it's a UN convention that says that the children's voice should be heard when there are legal decisions being made that profoundly affect their lives. Like parenting. This is why we also have advocates specifically for children. And we did a show on that about children's advocacy. Because although children don't have the choice, they do have a voice and that voice should be heard by the courts. And we also have legislation that says that the voice of the child it's in the best interest of the child to have the voice of the child heard as well. Now, there is this common myth that when the child becomes 12 years old, that's the magical age and they can start having their voice heard more and make some decisions. And that's not true. There was a case several years ago where there was a 12-year-old who gave her opinion to the court about what she wanted, and the court deferred to that opinion heavily, but that was because that little girl was very articulate, was very clear about what she wanted. She was very mature for a 12-year-old, and for some reason that age kind of stuck. Now, the older the child is, the more deference a court will give to a child's preference, but there is no magical age of 12 or 14 and even 16. I've seen judges tell 16-year-olds that, you know, if they when they say, well, I want to go live with mom or I want to go live with dad, the judge has actually said, no, this is what will occur. I've heard your voice, but, you know, I don't think it's in your best interest and this is what we're doing instead. And that's the key. The court has to do what is in the best interest of the child above anything else. So that's where dads, I feel, when they're trying to get more rights to their children, because it's not based on a parent's rights, it's based on what's in the best interest of the child. I always tell my dads, you know, go to the soccer games. You know, you may not have the 50-50 shared parenting or the overnights or as much time as you want, but in the interim, go to the soccer games, go to the ballet, go, you know, yep. get involved with your kids as much as possible with whatever they're doing in yep. their lives. And like you yep. said, actions speak louder than words. So demonstrate yep. that you want to be a part of that child's life and be a part of an active part of that child's life, regardless of what your parenting plan says. We can always adjust the yep. parenting plan around what is happening down the road. Don't try to get the plan Good. First and then do it. Right. So, yep.
The challenge with that too, though, Cindy, is that 85% of dads last year reported that they had a work family conflict, meaning, you know, the kid asked them to, you know, come to a soccer game or go to a recital or their active sport or whatever, you know, a reading class or whatnot, and dad said, no, I can't come because I'm out of town and working, or I have to work my shift or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And that's pretty high mm-hmm. for dads, 85%.
I think, though, it's equally as challenging for moms. Maybe not. Yep, yep. I mean, depending on the type of work, because I have moms that work shift work too. You know, yep. I always said I was lucky because I had chronic underachievers for children, so I didn't have to attend any of those games. But at the end of the day, that was a joke, Patrick. You're supposed to laugh.
Yep. But I was laughing.
Okay. But at the end of the day, you know, in whatever way, it doesn't necessarily have to be a scheduled event, but, and I know that makes it challenging because when dads are only limited to being an access parent in some situations, it can become more difficult in that way for sure.
Yes.
Now what is, I mean, we talked a little bit about this, this conference I was on where there was a big discussion about 50-50 shared parenting. What's your organization's thoughts about 50-50 shared parenting? Because there's quite a controversy as to whether it's in the best interest of the child.
Well, I think that there has to be a very close discussion around, you know, the child's schedule, you know, in terms of what they're involved with beyond school mm-hmm. to accommodate that. I mean, the 50-50, I mean, I think, you know, somebody's trying to come to a, you know, some kind of common ground where the child can be involved with both parents. I think that there needs to be a consistent, kept schedule of when the child is with mom and or dad, with that. So, right. I mean, you know, you have to look at the common ground. You have to look at the child's schedule in terms of, you know, what they're involved with so that, you know, their child's schedule can be somewhat normal, right? In terms of what's happening for them.
Right.
The challenge is when they're in different communities or different cities, you know, how that works, right?
Right.
But it's important too that when dad and or mom is with the child, that they're building relationships with that child that they have, not only with themselves, but, you know, with their friends, particularly if they're in a different different city or community.
Right.
So that the child has a sense of belonging.
Yes. Well, and that, you know, it's good that you mentioned that because, you know, when I have dads come in and they're like, you know, I want to know what my father's rights are or my rights are as a father, I always tell them, well, unfortunately, parents don't have rights when we're looking at parenting plans and whatnot. What we're looking at is what is in the best interest of the children. But one of the rights yeah. that parents do have is mobility rights. So one, I mean, any parent has the right to move anywhere in the country. The question is, do yeah. the children get to go with them? So in situations where when a child leaves the jurisdiction and moves to another area with a parent, let's say the mom, when that happens, it can be very devastating to the access parent who more often than not are the dads. And what advice and support would you give to a father who's been trying to stay connected with their children after the child's had to move several miles away?
Well, consistency is very important, right. particularly for the child, because they need to know that, you know, you're there for them. Right. Regardless of what happens. But consistency is also important for dads because men are like horses and dogs. They need routine. And when routine changes, they get flabbergasted. You know, what's going on here? Something's, you know, somebody changed my schedule.
Yeah.
Right. So you know, and for them to be, you know, healthy and normal and feel like they're whole, I mean, that routine is important as well.
Right.
But also following through with what you say. If you say you're going to be, you know, going to be there for your son or daughter, be there for your son or daughter. Don't break it, right? Because you need to build the trust. You need to build the harmony. There needs to be that. You need to rebuild that harmony because that harmony has been broken because the family has separated, right? Mm-hmm. And as I said before, the child needs a sense of belonging, right? Because that's when they reach out to other negative things when they don't feel they have a sense of belonging.
Right.
And so that's why it's important to have quality time with your child, not always do the same thing, but doing different things with them to explore, you know, where their son or daughter is at in their lives, allowing them also to get to know their dad or mom, for that matter, about what's happening, right? And the kids also need to know that their mom and dad are okay. Because if they have a sense that they're not okay, then they're going to be worried about, you know, what's going to happen to them, right? Yep. Now that they've split up, you know, and that can be an undue stress for a child when they worry about the other parent, right? When they're not with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that you say that because I always tell my clients the best gift that you can give your child is to let them be a child and let the worries be the parents' worries and not the children's worries. So, yeah, I 100% agree with you there. Now, I'm just cognizant of time, Patrick. I wish we did have more time to talk about this subject because I have so many more questions for you. And I think what you're doing with your organization is fantastic. But how can fathers get involved with your initiative?
Well, if they go to our website, abdads.ca, there's a wealth of information on there for dads, and then there's a contact us. And if dads contact us, and if they're from Grand Prairie, Calgary, Edmonton, we will help them connect with an organization that's providing that direct service for them to help get connected, help support them in their particular situation.
And what about any dads in rural areas? Is there any way to reach out to them as well?
Oh, absolutely. Again, the website's the best way to connect with us rurally. And so if, you know, they're from Crow's Nest Pass or they're from Camrose or they're from Rimby, wherever in Alberta, again, we will help connect them with a local resource.
And are you a charitable organization that people can donate to?
If people are interested in supporting what we do, we encourage them to donate to the Stollery Children's Hospital Foundation. They're the ones that support our organization. We're privately funded through them.
Okay. Well, that is fantastic. Thank you so much for all of your information today. I'm going to definitely make sure that we put this information of how people can reach you as well on our website. When this show airs, we'll put an on-demand button on so people can access the show and also get any contact information as well at that time.
Super.
But, you know, I just want to say thank you very much for being a part of our show today. And if you're welcome. And if you, the listener, want to find out more about our guest or our firm Resolve Legal Group, please visit our website at www.resolvelegalgroup.com or by calling us at 1-866-RESOLVE. And as I said, we'll have all of that information on our website. And please be sure to listen in next week when we will be speaking to the Alberta Maintenance Enforcement Program and the Alberta Child Support Recalculation Program, all about child support and how to go about using their services.
Your Family Matters is sponsored by Resolve Legal Group, a family law firm dedicated to client-centered holistic legal services, with offices located downtown Calgary and downtown Cochrane, Alberta. The unique delivery of client-centered holistic services that Resolve Legal Group has become known for is structured to address not only a client's legal matter, but this model also ensures that families are bridged with differing community supports based on an individual's and family needs. It is the firm's philosophy that with the right supports in place, clients become empowered to make sound legal decisions when files are led to resolution. It is the firm's desire to continue to grow and expand this model so that holistic practice becomes the norm in family law rather than the exception. Contact us at 403-229-2000. 2365 or visit www.resolvelegalgroup.com for more information.